This is the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode available each and every week. My name is Aaron Peterson, and I'm going to be your host for this special episode of the Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, we like to bring interviews with independent filmmakers to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. This time, we're going to talk about a film called Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. Now, if you don't know who Gloria Graham is, she's an actress from classic films in the 40s and 50s and 60s who came into great fame with movies like It's a Wonderful Life and The Big Heat and In a Lonely Place. And she also won an Oscar for The Bad and the Beautiful. What Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool is concerned with is the later years of her life. Gloria Graham is played by Annette Bening. And the film revolves around her realizing that she is ill and contacting her former love in Peter Turner, who's played by Jamie Bell, to see if she can go and spend time with him and recuperate with Peter and his family, who she greatly admires. Of course, his love for her has never really waned. Their friendship has never really waned. So Peter and his family take her in. And in those days, as Peter realizes that her health is waning, he reflects upon the time that he knew her before, when he met her. He fell in love with her before he even knew she was a huge actress and a star. And the film follows that relationship and tells you what happened in the past and what created the bond that kept their relationship together. It's a film that I thought was going to be very, very different than what it was. I really thought it was going to be, here's a Hollywood actress and we're seeing her final days. And instead what I got was a warm and touching love story between Peter and Gloria. Annette Bening, you already know she's a fantastic actress, but she really just takes this role to a different place here. Jamie Bell is an actor I've touted for a long time. He just had a movie earlier this year called 6 Days. Highly recommend you see that one as well. Jamie Bell is a very rounded actor who can tackle very different aspects of parts, and here he gets to run a gamut of emotions as Peter. The film will open in L.A. and New York on Friday, December 29th, 2017, and then I believe it will roll out after that. So keep an eye on that. The film, once again, is called Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. Now, for this exclusive interview, I'm basically going to bring it to you in two parts. Part one, we're going to talk to Peter Turner himself, the man who wrote the book Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool, and then, 30-plus years later, sees that book brought to the big screen. He sees his love story. His own love story brought to the big screen. And we talked to Peter about that love story, that romance, what it's like seeing himself on film, what it's like seeing Annette Bening's performance of his former love on screen, and what he thinks of the film overall. It's a very, very sweet and charming interview. Very nice guy. I think you're going to really enjoy that. And part two, we're talking to director Paul McGugin. Paul is a very talented director. He's worked on a lot of things you probably already know. He directed Lucky Number 11, Wicker Park. He's done several episodes of Sherlock, Luke Cage, Designated Survivor pilot. I love that pilot. And also Victor Frankenstein. I think that movie's a blast. But this film is much more serious in nature. It's a much more heartfelt drama. It's a love story. It's very touching. It's unlike some of his more genre-related works that he's done before. It was very interesting to talk to him and see where he was coming from in terms of why he wanted to do this film, what it was like working with Annette Bening and Jamie Bell and Peter Turner, and having the actual person who's behind the story you're telling there to make sure you get it right. It's a really interesting and insightful interview. Great guy to talk to. Both Peter and Paul took time out of the craziness of their film promotion junket just to give us a call and talk to us about the film. And I definitely hope that inspires you to find the film and see a love story that I really hope most of you have in your own lives someday. It's a beautiful tale. So let's begin with part one. Let's talk with Peter Turner about his true life coming to life in front of him, himself, played by Jamie Bell, his love, played by Annette Bening, and what he thinks of the entire thing. Here's my interview with the author of Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool and the inspiration for Peter Turner, Peter Turner.
Hi, Aaron. It's Peter.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How's the junket going for you?
Oh, it's been fine. It's been kind of a long morning, but everyone's been kind of really, lovely and kind, and they really kind of like the film, so that kind of helps enormously, because it kind of infuses a lot of good energy.
Yes, it does. So yeah. When did you know you wanted to be involved in film?
When did I know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was there a moment? Was there a specific moment, or?
Well, no, not really, because it's been a long time. I mean, you know, my book was published in 1986,
right.
And it had an immediate film interest from the film world. And there are about kind of 11 kind of different kind of, you know, very kind of interested parties there. And so it went to Columbia Pictures, first of all, mm-hmm. And then, you know, studio heads changed and things, and I kind of went round the houses, and to cut a very long story short, Barbara Broccoli, our producer, kind of rescued the project for me 23 years ago and put it into development. And, you know, she did say to me at the time, it might take me a few years to get this off the ground. and poor Barbara, she didn't think it was going to be 23 years, but it has been, because what we did, I mean, Barbara always saw, and she introduced me to Annette Bening 23 years ago. And
wow.
Annette had read my book. And from that point on, really, if a film did get off the ground, the only person who we could possibly think, you know, who we only wanted to play the role was Annette Bening. I couldn't see anybody else. So from that point on, and that's a long time, and my involvement, I had a lot of pre-development kind of involvement and, mm-hmm. and pre-production involvement. It wasn't so much as a desire or a demand or anything. It was just like quite organic. Barbara always considered me to be a, kind of a part of it, and you know, I just kind of added to it what I could, when I could, if I was asked or required, and it's been a very fulfilling experience.
And now this is the second time you've told this story in one form or another. So why was this story so important for you to get out into the world?
Oh, gosh, I think that the first time me telling the tale, as it were, the story, is when I sat down to write the book in 1984. It was a 3.5 years or something, 4 years after Gloria had died.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a conscious, important thing to do. I was still trying to figure it all out, really. It was a time of introspection, reflection. And I didn't intend to write a book. So it wasn't something that I was kind of burning to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't research a book. I didn't plan to write a book. The book kind of wrote me. It kind of, you know, I literally do remember kind of waking up one morning in my, you know, bedroom in Notting Hill in West London, and it was kind of 4:30 in the morning, and I thought, why am I awake? And I realized that I'd be kind of waking up early every day for weeks and months probably, and I just went to a desk, and I had a small, the old-fashioned typewriter manual, and I just started to write. I didn't know she was sick until she went to Lancaster, and I was thinking, I was kind of figuring out, and it was, I was writing from memory, and like one memory would lead to another memory, and another moment would lead somewhere else and take me there and take me to California or New York or back to London or Liverpool, and it was kind of quite, the whole thing was quite kind of organic, and it was a very cathartic experience and an unusual experience for me. And so I didn't plan to write a book. It wasn't important to me to write. It was important to me after I'd written, because then I realized what I had written.
Mm.
I'd written about this woman who kind of changed my life, who turned it around on its head and pointed me in different directions and led me to kind of to evolve and grow and think about myself and the world and love and what is love, what is it, and just about, you know, one's kind of very existing. I mean, existence, I mean, the whole kind of big story is about, you know, living and dying and someone dying. I know it happens every day, but in one's own lifetime, it means something, and on a kind of deeper kind of level, I mean, life is for a reason, for a purpose, it means things. And so that's been important to me. After I'd written it, it became important. I realized it's important. Secondly, I think the film being made, why was that important?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, A, it was important for me to see Gloria Graham being kind of justified as a woman, human being, and actress.
It's very sweet.
Have her films come to attention again. And I think that she was kind of so maligned and wronged in her life in so many ways. And you know, and what happened with Miss Annette Bening is that she also kind of, you know, saw an awful lot into this character. She wanted to play Gloria the Woman, not necessarily the actress or the film star, but the woman whose heart beats and lived and died, and everything else around her was something that had kind of grown around her. So it was very important to have Gloria Graham justified to bring more attention to her work, her body of work as an actor.
And I mean, you can't find many actresses that are better than Annette Bening. And
I don't think so. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that Miss Annette, I mean, she just imbues the whole of the production with this kind of wonderful kind of quality. She brings kind of something that, you know, cannot be manufactured or created by anybody else. She's quite unique. And the remarkable thing is that we have kind of one brilliant American actress of world cinema caliber playing another one. And both of them kind of bring so much to each other. I mean, Annette found that Gloria brought an awful lot to her by Annette watching all of Gloria's films. And then Annette brings to Gloria this wonderful, real person.
Did she capture the Gloria that you knew?
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, Annette never went out to do like an impersonation or it's not like a film biography. The hair wasn't the same or things like that. And Annette spent a lot of time. I mean, she's an incredible thirst for kind of knowledge and her research. And she just wants to know. She might not even kind of use it in her, you know, in her kind of equipment as an actor. But she just likes to know everything. No stone left unturned. And so Annette and I kind of, you know, emailed and a lot and talked a lot. And Annette visited Liverpool with me, and we walked around and we just talked, and we talked about Gloria. Because the amazing thing that Gloria Graham never used to do interviews at all. Mm-hmm. So people didn't know anything about her. So they used to make things up. And so, there's a lot of inaccuracies around her career. You know, Annette sort of wanted to kind of, you know, clear things up and portray this person. And what she said to me, she, you know, just about a week before she started shooting, she said, "Peter," she said, "I might not be the Gloria Graham who you knew, but I will be the Gloria Graham who I now know through you."
No.
And that was kind of, and I thought, wow, that is just so perceptive and so cool. Because it turned out that I was like the major source. And it's a real story. It's not, you know, it's not a film biography. I said it's, you know, about this kind of one moment in time, and it's about this woman dying. And it's about a relationship that she had, and it's about her career that she had, injustices that were kind of thrown her way. It's a, you know, it's a kind of homage to survival, to women, to age, to beauty, and bravery, I think. And Paul McGuigan, our director. I mean, you know, I'm a storyteller, I like to believe, and on the page. And he is the most incredible storyteller on the screen. It's so kind of beautifully, simply told. But, you know, with everything that's beautifully and simply told, an incredible amount of hard work, intelligence, and creativity goes in to make it simply and beautifully told.
Well, how does it feel to see Jamie Bell playing you on screen? Is that surreal?
It is surreal. It is incredible, and I can't think of anyone else except Jamie Bell playing that role. I had no idea, and I didn't want to have any idea who might be considered at the time to play the role, because I thought, Peter, I said to myself, you know, you don't need to know, you don't want to know, and I don't want to become obsessive or anything, or kind of overthink it, or kind of, you know, try to imagine what this person, X person or Y person might be like in the role. So I just kind of left it out. It was enough for me that Annette Bening was going to be playing Gloria. Then, when they told me that Jamie Bell was playing the role, I was absolutely thrilled, really. I just thought, what a great piece of casting. I thought it was original, and I thought it had so many kind of aspects to it, because, you know, most people associated Jamie Bell with Billy Elliot. He's done some fabulous things in between, but there hasn't been a kind of a role that's kind of like pinpointed him or defined him since Billy Elliot. And, you know, Jamie Bell has grown up. He's kind of a 30-year-old guy, a beautiful wife and all the rest of it. And he's
very talented.
Incredible actor. And he is so intelligent. He can, you know, he knows his way around screenplays like the back of his hand and the story. And he's so perceptive and instinctive. And when we first met, there was this kind of unspoken kind of language that we spoke with each other, just be kind of looking at each other. And I just knew that he was going to be great. And he is. He said to me, "Do you have anything to say to me?" I said, "No, not much." "To me, not much." And I said, "Well, also I'm going to say to you that every day you're shooting, you're filming, I will be with you in my heart."
Oh,
and I get quite emotional when I kind of think about him. It just hits me, because what he does, I mean, it's a beautifully measured performance. It's so real. The two of them just work amazing together. The chemistry on the screen is incredible. It's a totally believable relationship on the screen. They totally justify each other. And it's if that Annette Bening holds out a hand to Jamie Bell and he takes it, and they both fly together above the clouds with those beautiful performances. And Jamie, by not saying anything at all on the screen, I don't know if you've seen the film, but he is...
I have.
I find him so moving. And it's because, you know, on a very deep personal level, both of them, both of the actors, Annette and Jamie, it's just that they've kind of turned a key within my soul and released an awful lot of knowledge to me about even who I am. I mean, it's quite profound, actually, and I don't want to kind of overstate it, but it's moved me, and I mean, I'm so proud of them and so honored by them, and so, you know, so lucky that they are just so beautiful. The performance is incredible, and they move me incredibly.
Well, last question, because I know I got to let you go here in a second, but you spoke to how moving the film was, and it's been 30 years in the making, really, since your book came out.
Yeah.
31.
Yeah.
Did they capture your vision of what you wanted to see on screen? Had you made the movie yourself, for instance, did they capture what you hoped for?
Okay. Well, very interestingly, my book has just been reissued here in the United States by Picador USA, and there was a review in the Wall Street Journal, which kind of, it was a very flattering review, and fortunately, and he kind of like sees it almost like, you know, filmic, and at times, the reviewer, and he talks about what I capture. I'd say in return to that, if I were given the opportunity, that what Paul McGuigan's film does for me, he does capture my book. It's very faithful to the book. And you know, that's how he wanted it to be. The scenes, kind of dialogue from the book, the characters are the same. Obviously, the stories are the same. He concentrates on the two main characters, and the family. And you know, Paul is a great storyteller. So it's you know, by chance. I mean, he didn't know he was going to get me, and I didn't know I was going to get him. But the right. Of the book and the director, and you think, okay, we, you know, trusted each other, and kind of and what emerged from that is his vision of his film is so close to my vision of my book if I were to have made a film too. I mean, you know, I'm kind of so with it.
That's amazing. That's great that your story came to light. What's next for Peter? What are you looking to do next?
Oh, gosh, you know, I've been asked that before, and, you know, I've been, you know, so involved with, you know, with this film over the last year, and, you know, pre-production, kind of like post-production of it, really. And you know, I'm going to continue my writing career. And also, I've been doing a bit of acting as well. And it, you know, I wanted to stop acting. I mean, right after the story happened, I thought it didn't mean anything to me. And that's what I was talking about, the film releasing things. It's released this. I kind of got my mojo back now. And, I want to do a bit of acting, and I'm working on some short stories as a writer. So it's good. I mean, you know, thank the universe, really. I'm in a good place right now.
Well, thanks so much for coming by. Really, good luck on the movie. The movie was great. It was great.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. And it's been my pleasure to talk to you today.
Take care, Peter.
And you too, Aaron. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. There you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought it was a great interview. Both interviews are great, so make sure you listen to both of them if you have not already. Paul McGugan and Peter Turner are wonderful guys to talk to, and it's a beautiful story. Film stars don't die in Liverpool. I can't say enough about Annette Bening and Jamie Bell and how beautiful their love story is in the film. I think you're really going to enjoy it. The ending is a beautifully constructed story where it really just punches you in the heart in a good way, in a very, very, very good way, where you understand why things happen the way that they happen. Once again, thank you for listening to the Hollywood Outsider podcast. We love when you guys take a listen to these exclusive interviews with independent filmmakers, and we try to bring you them whenever we can. So I really hope you enjoyed this one. Remember that Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool will premiere in New York and LA on December 29th, 2017, and we'll roll out after that. And also remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Our normal show has a new episode each and every week and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or, like I said, your favorite podcast app. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater with your special love to see Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool, buy popcorn.